Good job, Jeremiah. And Adelaide, nice job leading worship this morning. Don't tell Greg, because I like him leading, but it was a pinch better today. All righty. We are all human. Therefore, all of us have done something. Man, it seems like half the congregation just left. Let me start that again. All of us have done something wrong, and all of us have had something or someone wrong us. Sometimes the pain that we have experienced by others has left us wounded, sometimes weary, and yes, the sting in the depth of the agony we endure has left a bitter taste in our mouths, and we feel as though we can't forgive sometimes the person who has wronged us. It's not that we can't get past the pain. It's not that we can't forgive the person, but it's a matter sometimes of we just don't want to forgive the person that has injured us. However, if we want our prayers listened to and answered by God, this is one area of our life we've got to get a handle on. And everyone has struggled with forgiveness at one time or another. Because failure to forgive others demonstrates that we are not ready to be forgiven by God Himself. So when it comes to forgiveness, like I say, we've got to get a handle on it. So in Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 14, Matthew chapter 6 is right in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus preaching this huge sermon up on the mountain to all the people that are following him at that point. It's after this sermon where Jesus feeds a lot of the people miraculously. But Jesus is giving a lot of instruction in this sermon on how God expects his people to live. He also reveals a lot of the heart of God in this Sermon on the Mount. But right in the middle of the sermon, Jesus does this little lesson on prayer. And in verses 14 and 15, Jesus says something pretty astounding. He says, If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a huge statement by Jesus himself that I think sometimes we forget or we read over very quickly and we don't want to hear it because we think ignorance sometimes is an excuse. But Jesus is teaching his people how to pray to God, how to talk to God. Don't forget, before Jesus came, people didn't have access to the throne of God. You know, once or twice a year, a high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and present the people's request to God. And a lot of times, that high priest did not come out of that Holy of Holies alive, being fully in the presence of God. Jesus is now teaching his people, because of what I'm about to do for you. And they were still clueless at this point, what Jesus was going to fully do for them. But Jesus was telling them that they were going to have full access to the throne of God, full access to the Creator of all things. And he's teaching the people how to talk to God and what kind of things they should talk to God about. So in the previous verses, you have, you know, he's teaching them to ask God for things, recognize who God is in your life. But in the middle of the prayer, towards the end, he teaches them that when you talk to God, there needs to be a time of asking for forgiveness. And there also needs to be a time of asking God to help us forgive others. Jesus recognizes that forgiveness for human beings is not an easy thing. Our human minds remember everything that people have done with us and against us. That's just who we are. And therefore, when somebody hurts us, it makes it very hard for our human hearts to love or to care for or to humble ourselves before that person. And Jesus is telling the people, if you expect God to forgive you, and Jesus was about to do the most wonderful thing planet Earth has ever seen. He was about to give his life up for mankind and to offer grace and forgiveness, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your background is, no matter what color your skin was. Jesus was ready to offer forgiveness of sins to all mankind. But there was one stipulation there. He says, I can't forgive you if you can't forgive other people. And Jesus showed the people, and Jesus taught the people how to forgive. So Jesus had just finished teaching his disciples this marvelous lessons, and he teaches us that when we pray, we should always, always, always include forgiveness. And if that's not a part of your regular prayer life, maybe we need to implement that or start practicing that, or even asking the Holy Spirit, who is there in my life that right now that I need to forgive, that I haven't let go of? Or ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart into how have I offended God today, this week, whatever. What do I need to ask God for forgiveness for? You see, forgiveness of our own sins and forgiveness to others that have wronged us is important. That God finds that very important that we recognize that before him. Jesus teaches that if we forgive, we are forgiven. But if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. That's pretty plain black and white. Or in my Bible, it's red and white. The words of Jesus. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Don't forgive, don't come asking for forgiveness. If a person has been holding a grudge since 1975, and he or she has not forgiven a person, they have not been forgiven since 1975, according to the scripture. If somebody wronged you 40-some years ago and you have not let go of it and you have not been able to forgive that person in your heart or offer forgiveness to that person, whether they want it or not, according to the scripture, you've been going unforgiven for 40-some years. Those are powerful words. When it comes to forgiving others, it should not be an option for Christian people, but something that we must be willing to do on a daily basis. Because let me tell you, people are going to wrong you on purpose or on accident. Even people in church. Because churches are full of human beings that do dumb things sometimes and say the wrong things sometimes. Not everybody has perfect marriages, and your spouse is going to do or say the wrong thing. Not every friendship is perfect. Your good friend is someday going to say or do the wrong thing. Your brother or sister in Christ, same thing. Coworker at work. And then there's some people that are just downright the thorn in your side. And they are your enemy and probably always will be your enemy. And Jesus says, I want you forgiving them too. What did Jesus say on the cross when people were spitting on him, hurling insults on him? He had just had the nails put in his hands and his feet. And he cries out to God, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea how bad they are wronging and hurting you right now. And he's crying out for forgiveness. So God takes forgiveness very seriously. So I want to take a look at real quick, four quick things about forgiveness. The first thing I want to look at is what forgiveness does not mean. Because Satan is very good at giving definitions, and his definitions 99.9% of the time are wrong because they suit him and not God. So let me tell you what forgiveness does not mean. Forgiveness does not mean acting like an offense act has not occurred. That's not what God's asking you to do. He's not asking you to just live life and pretend like nothing happened. And people try to do that. Spouses try to do that. Christian brothers and sisters try to do that. Friends try to do that. Somebody hurts you in your home or at church or at work. We try to bury that. We try to hide it. And we just try to pretend like nothing happened. You watch Jesus. He never did that. If something was offensive to God that needed to be forgiven, he brought it up in a very loving way, very caring way. He offered forgiveness. And then he told the person, now go and let's not do that anymore. Forgiveness does not mean that we pretend that we have forgiven a person, then talk about it to others. Human beings are great at that. We'll verbally tell somebody, I forgive you. And then we'll turn around and tell five or six friends about how so-and-so, can you believe what they said to me? Can you believe what they did to me? We do that a lot. And if we're doing that, you have not truly forgiven that person. God doesn't rub in your face the things he has forgiven you for. It's not brought up here at the front of the building. God doesn't bring everybody up here and say, you know, we're going to talk about everything Mike Wilgus did wrong this week. We're going to talk about everything that Warren Maddox did wrong this week. We're going to make sure that he knows about it and everybody else. God doesn't do that. So why do we do that with people if we've forgiven them? So forgiveness doesn't mean pretending like you forgave them and then go talk about them behind their backs. Forgiveness does also not mean or imply weakness. Now, Satan will tell the world that, you know, if you just forgive everybody, you're letting people run right over you and you're a weak and spineless person. No. It takes a very strong, very courageous person to truly forgive somebody who has hurt you to your core. Jesus is the ultimate example. How on earth could he carry the sin of the world on his shoulders? The murderers, the pedophiles, the adulterers, the rapists, the liars, the cheaters, everybody, you and me, and ask God to forgive them. That takes the strongest man on planet Earth. There is no weakness there. That's why Jesus is telling us, you got to ask God to help you forgive those who have trespassed against you. So forgiveness, get rid of the idea that means you're a weak person. Forgiveness does not mean that you will not be offended by the same person again. Know that. How many times did the disciples wrong Jesus over and over again? How many times did Peter deny Christ? 3 times, at least. Just because somebody's hurt you and you've forgiven them and you said, let's move on and let's not do that again, doesn't mean that that person won't wrong you again. And it doesn't mean you can't be ready to forgive again. Forgiveness does not mean that if we forgive them the first time, that we don't forgive them if they ask us again, if they are sincere. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, I tell you, talking about forgiveness, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. In other words, 77, that was an infinite number. Doesn't matter how many times your husband comes up to you and asks for forgiveness, you offer forgiveness if they're sincere. Doesn't matter how many times your best friend or brother and sister in church has hurt you on accident or purpose, and they come to you and say, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. You let it go. God expects forgiveness. How many times have you had to stand before the throne of God and ask for forgiveness for the same habitual sin? The same habitual sin that you thought you repented of. You thought you would never do it again. And boom, there it is again. And how many times have God turned you away when you ask for forgiveness? Never. And he expects the same from his followers. Now, forgiveness does not mean that we forget the trespass. God does. God forgives and forgets. Our human minds, and God knows it, our human minds remember. God is capable of removing sin. When God forgives, he removes sin, therefore it doesn't exist anymore. Now, when we forgive, we don't have the ability to remove sin. Only God does. So we remember that. But we don't get entangled in the trespass. We don't let it eat at us all day long. When you forgive, you truly are letting go of that trespass. You are truly telling the person, it's not okay, but it doesn't affect my love for you anymore. It doesn't affect how I'm going to treat you. It doesn't affect our relationship if you are truly serious about your apology. And I'm letting it go. It'll always be in your mind. You'll always know if your spouse wronged you in the marriage, if your best friend talked about you in a way that wasn't pleasing to you. You'll always remember that. But don't let it consume you, is what Jesus is saying. Free that person of their guilt and free yourself from worrying about that day and night. Failure to forgive demonstrates a malignant mindset towards God. Truly. Our failure to forgive definitely shows God that our minds aren't right with him. They're not in sync with him. Our heart is not in sync with him at that time. So that's what forgiveness does not mean. That's what being forgiven does not mean. Let me tell you what forgiveness does do. Forgiveness does a lot of things. And again, Jesus is the prime example, and our forgiveness that we receive from Jesus, it makes it a whole lot easier to see in our lives. When we forgive others, it demonstrates our Christian maturity. Hear that. To know if you're growing as a Christian, is it becoming easier for you to forgive and let go than it was 20 years ago or in the days of your youth? How long have you been being forgiven by God over and over and over again? And in your growing as a mature Christian, are you recognizing that? Therefore, it's become your nature. Of course I'm going to forgive you. Of course I'm going to continue to love you. God expects that in our families. I've said it before. God gives us our nuclear families to practice everything he's told us to do out in the world. So is it your number one nature when somebody in your family, your spouse or your child, has abused you, has neglected you, has wronged you, whatever the case may be, can you look them in the eye and say, I forgive you and I love you? Now, ladies, don't hear me the wrong way. God is not asking you to stay in an abusive relationship. If you are being hurt physically, mentally, emotionally, you get away. You can love somebody without continuing being abused. All right, that's a whole different sermon and that's a whole different counseling session. That's not what I'm asking you to do. That's not what God's asking you to do. But for your sake, to heal you, you have to forgive, whether the person asks for forgiveness or not. How many times have you forgotten to ask God for forgiveness? You think those sins aren't covered by the blood of Jesus? According to Jesus, they are. He does tell us to repent and ask for forgiveness all the time, but the human mind doesn't even realize sometimes when we're wronging God. The only time God says our sin is not forgiven is if we cannot find it in our heart to forgive others. And when he says others, he means everybody. There's some ways that I pray to God that I am never tested in forgiveness. I don't know how I would handle somebody hurting my wife or my children. I pray that never happens. I hope in my Christian maturity, and I hope in your Christian maturity, God, through the Holy Spirit, would give you the strength to forgive those people, because we are called to forgive. Forgiveness provides an opportunity for a better relationship with God and with the person that you're forgiving. It opens the door to reconciliation. Almost every single marital or friendship counseling thing I'm doing in my office all starts with the inability for somebody to forgive. That's the last straw. I can't do it. I can't let that go. There is no forgiveness for that. If you want reconciliation in your marriage, in a friendship, in a brother-sister relationship, whatever the case may be, it all starts with forgiveness. And that starts with getting on your hands and knees and asking God to give you the strength and the power in your heart to forgive the one who has wronged you, because you know you've wronged God. And you have been given grace, and you have been given forgiveness, and you are of no more value than the person who wronged you in the eyes of God. Forgiveness reveals our love for the person, because we cannot forgive unless we love, and we cannot love unless we are willing to forgive. They go side by side. That's how Jesus showed you his love. It's the only way he could prove his love to you was by forgiving you. For hanging on the cross and offering grace to you. And that's how we show love to others. We offer grace. We offer forgiveness. You think of any of your relationships right now. You wouldn't have those relationships if somebody didn't offer grace or forgiveness at one time or another. Because we're all human beings and we all mess up, and we all mess up big. My parents, if they didn't forgive me when I was 5 years old, I definitely wouldn't be the person I am today. If they didn't offer forgiveness year after year after year after year, I wouldn't be the person I am today. If my wife didn't forgive me from time to time to time, I wouldn't have a marriage today. If my best friends didn't forgive me, I wouldn't have any friends. You think about that. That's how we love people. It means that we do not plan revenge on the person. That's huge. To remove any thought or feeling of revenge, that's what forgiveness means. Not to hope. How many times have you hoped? Well, I hope what comes around goes around for that person. I hope they die in jail. I hope they lose their husband or their wife. They don't deserve such a good person. I hope they get kicked out of church. Has Christ ever hoped or wanted bad for you? He says just the opposite. I want good things for you. I want you to live a life to the fullest. That's a man that you've wronged thousands of times. Wants the best life possible for you. No revenge there. Forgiveness means that we are willing to pray for the person. I never did that till I was in my mid-20s. I had a preacher one time tell me, if you have a person that you're finding a hard time loving or forgiving, or they're just a constant thorn in your side, start praying for them nightly. Start praying for them every day that God blesses them, God continues to love them. Ask for the greatest things that you would ask for yourself for that person. When you start bringing that person to the throne of God every day, you find it very hard to hate. And you will find yourself actually starting to love with compassion for that person. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does with your heart when you pray for people. Think about how many of you don't pray for your children. I would say 100% of you probably pray for your children. You pray good things for your children. Don't you love your children? Yeah. It's because you're lifting them up to the throne of God. That's no accident. And God will do that with your enemies when you lift them up to the throne. Forgiveness means we should ask ourselves, Lord, is there somebody that I have yet to forgive today? Do we do that as part of our prayer life every day, every week? God, who is there in my life today that I need to forgive? That I just need to let a wrongdoing go. Just let it go and let you have it, God. Let you take care of it. So those are the kind of things that forgiveness does. Number three, if you're following along in the outline. Three's a long one. I didn't know how to word it shortly. It's not that God won't forgive us, but God can't forgive us. It's not that God, if you don't forgive other people, it's not that God doesn't want to forgive you. You need to hear that and understand that. It's that he literally can't until we are ready to forgive others. If God were to forgive us when we are not willing to forgive, would mean that God is unholy. So when God says, unless you forgive, I'm not forgiving you, he's not telling you, I don't want to forgive you just because you're being naughty and not forgiving people. He's not even wanting to punish you there. God in his very nature cannot forgive you if you don't forgive other people. It would make God an unholy God. It would make him out to be a liar. It would make him out to be a hypocrite. It's out of his nature. And God will not do anything outside of his nature, outside of who he is. God cannot and will not violate his own nature. So when God says, I won't forgive you if you can't forgive others, he's not going to go against his nature. That's not who he is. We're asking God at that point, I want you to be unholy. I want you to be something that you are not. Give me a pass and let everybody else go to hell, whatever. He isn't going to do it for you. His love and his justice will not permit him to contradict himself. He cannot do it. His love for you, his love for other people, his love for your enemy, his justice for you and the justice for his enemy will not allow him to forgive. If you cannot and have not forgiven yourself. If God forgave us when we are unwilling to forgive, would seem that God is showing partiality to you or to me, even though we are not willing to forgive. And he won't do it. He can't. He will not show partiality. Jesus, in his sermon, teaches us against showing partiality in the church. You do not show partiality to rich people, to white people, to young people, to whoever we tend to show partiality to. God said, you're not doing that because that's not who I am. It's not in my nature. The murderer and rapist in sitting in prison today is loved by God just as much as you sitting in church in the pew today. That's God's nature. He doesn't differentiate. You are loved and have a value as the guy who has wronged people his entire life and not asking for forgiveness. You are loved equally in the eyes of God. You have equal opportunity to the throne of grace. So when we say, God, can you make an exception? Can you forgive me even though I cannot forgive him or her? The answer is no. Not because he doesn't want to forgive you. It goes against everything that he is. The story is told in Matthew chapter 18 about the servant that owed his master 10,000 talents. You've probably all read that in Sunday school at one time or another. And he could not pay, and his master commanded him and his wife and that all that he had to be sold. And the man begged his master for more time to pay. And his Lord was moved with compassion and forgave the debt. Completely forgave it. The same man was found a man that owed him money. And he couldn't pay it. And the man begged for time to pay the debt. But the forgiven servant would not forgive that servant. Instead, he had the man thrown into prison. When his Lord heard about it, he commanded that the forgiven servant be delivered to the tormentors in prison until he could pay, which meant he was going to be in prison, tormented for the rest of his life, because he wasn't going to make any money in prison. That's why Jesus is telling that story. We must understand that there are consequences to unforgiveness. It's not that God doesn't want to forgive you. He can't. You have been given grace and a free pass to live with the Almighty God for eternity. You deserved death. You deserved every punishment God could give out. And Jesus offered you grace. He says, all I need from you is to do the same thing. Your bill has been wiped clean. Your slate has been wiped clean. You owe God nothing. Why should there be a person on planet Earth that owes you something? Why should anybody on planet Earth owe you anything when your debt has been wiped clean by your master? So I'll say it again. Forgiveness. You need to get a handle on it now. Number four is all about our repentance. We talk about repentance a lot in God, in church. Repent and be baptized. Repent and go live for Christ. Repent, repent, repent. Repent is not only confessing your sin to God, but saying to God, I'm going to change. I'm going to turn around and be a completely different person, redesigned by you, God. Re-put together, reborn by you, God. Many saints go about their business praying without asking God to forgive them. When we pray, we should ask God to forgive us daily. When you're sitting at your meal time and thanking God for your meal, part of that prayer should be, forgive me of anything I've done to wrong you today. That's part of repentance. It's part of opening your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to show you how you've wronged God so that you don't do it again tomorrow. To have the Holy Spirit show you how you spoke poorly to your spouse, how you spoke poorly or did something poorly against your child or against a friend or a church brother or sister, and allowing the Holy Spirit to show you so you don't do it again tomorrow. And therefore God will be glorified, continue to be glorified in your life. Unconfessed sin will result in God not favorably answering prayers. He makes that very clear here because it goes against his nature. He can't do it. So if you're walking around as a Christian, never thinking there's anything wrong, I'm just living the life. When we take communion, we're called to have the Holy Spirit examine our hearts. As you took communion this morning, was your heart open to the Holy Spirit of how you may have wronged God this week? How you may have wronged your fellow man or woman this week? And what do you need to seek forgiveness for? Or who may need to receive forgiveness from you? It is a slap in God's face to pray without asking God to forgive us. And we learn that in raising kids. And I know I did it. I spoke ugly things to my mom and dad sometimes when I was a teenager. And then I would turn around and ask them for the keys to the car. I would say ugly things to my dad and then ask him $20 to take my date out that night. My kids have done that to me unintentionally when they're tiny, even when they're teenagers. That's a slap in the face. If it's a slap in the face to us as humans, for somebody to wrong you or to be ugly towards you and then ask you for something, that's just a slap in the face. And we want to say no. So why do we do it to God? Why do we have Why do we have sin in our life that we have not asked God to forgive us for and then go and ask him for something? Why would we hurt fellow human beings and then go to God and say, bless me? Why would we speak ill about somebody and then go ask God, please bless me? It's not how it works. And I must say that if we keep slapping God, God's going to slap back. He disciplines his children. Just like a child who continues to wrong his parent over and over and over again and never asks for forgiveness and constantly has his hand out, forgive me, give me, give me. That child's going to be disciplined. At least if he has a good parent. There's going to be words spoken. There's going to be things taken away. And life is going to change for that kid. Same goes for you. You slap God in the face enough times, there's going to be discipline. You're going to be put in your place. You're going to be told, uh-uh. It's not how this relationship works. I just want to give you and this is not three more points to the sermon, Mike. This is my conclusion. This is the end of the sermon. I want to give you three points to ponder. If you want to write them down real quick, put them on your refrigerator or whatever that have to do with communion. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to read them to you. These are some things that came up this week. One, forgiveness always involves the grace of God. Remember that. Forgiveness always involves the grace of God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2, God's forgiveness always involves love. Always. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's forgiveness always involves love. So should ours. 3, last one. God's forgiveness will always lead to abundant blessings. Always lead to abundant blessing. That comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14. So we must make up our minds to get a handle on forgiveness to others. Although they do us wrong, God says we must forgive them. Although they lie on us, we must forgive them. Although they scandalize our good name, God says, I want you to forgive them. Although they might hate us, and there will be people who hate you just because of your love for Jesus Christ, God says, I want you to forgive them. Although they turn their backs on us, God says, I want you to forgive them. Although they criticize us, God says, I want you to forgive them. Why? You did all that to God. And he forgave you. When we forgive, God smiles on us. We become obedient to his mandate. We are walking in the paths of righteousness. And we become a blessing to others. That's what God wants. He wants you to be a blessing so that he can bless you as well. Won't you respond to that message this morning? If you first and foremost need to receive forgiveness and grace from God and for the salvation that comes with Jesus Christ, you come running forward this morning. I will pray with you. We will get you baptized into Jesus' baptism, and we will start a whole new life with you. If you have somebody in your life or something in your life that you need to let go of and forgive so that you can go on living and growing in your walk with God, you need to humbly bow your head as we sing this morning. And ask the Holy Spirit first for the power to forgive. And then give it to Jesus. Give that person to Jesus. Give that hurt to Jesus. Give that anger, hate, whatever it is you're storing inside. Let Jesus have it. And then you leave this place today ready to go love. Ready to go forgive. Would you please respond in that way this morning? Please stand. However you need to respond to Jesus today, let's do it.